Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. Jesus is speaking, "A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father." And some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father'?" They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, 'A little while'? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed, he is risen. Hallelujah. A few years ago, there was a pretty popular song that had some very easy lyrics. It was, "Don't worry, be happy." It was a pretty easy melody to learn. It was fun to sing or hum along to. But did that song really make you happy? Well, maybe. But could it turn your grief into joy? Probably not. But this morning, our sermon text can do that. Because Jesus' words has the power to take your grief, your sorrow, my grief, and turn it into joy. Or as someone says, Jesus has the power to make our hearts smile. Our text this morning is the last of our Savior's "I tell you the truth" statements. And our theme this morning is, "I tell you the truth, your sorrow will turn into joy." Today is Easter. Of all the days of the year, this morning our heart should be smiling from artery to artery. We should be happy because the hallelujahs that were removed during Lent have now been replaced. This morning we already sung hallelujah, hallelujah with our mouths. But does our heart always feel that way? In our text this morning, Jesus told his disciples, "Most assuredly, I tell you the truth, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful." Weep, mourn, grieve, be sorrowful. Jesus spoke those words on Monday, Thursday afternoon, and just a few hours later, on that night and also on Good Friday and on Easter Sunday, he sees his disciples doing just that. As he was stumbling under the weight of his cross, carrying it to Calvary, the daughters of Jerusalem were wailing and mourning loudly for him. When he died on the cross, we're told the believers beat their breasts in sadness and went home. Mary Magdalene, that faithful follower of Jesus, what do we see her doing on Sunday morning? She's wetting the tomb with her tears, weeping uncontrollably, knowing that her Savior has died and now thinking that someone has stolen his body and maybe even desecrated it. How does Jesus find those two disciples walking to Emmaus Sunday afternoon? They're walking with their heads down, depressed, despondent, confused, upset. How do we find the disciples Easter Sunday evening behind locked doors? The same. Scared, fearful, sad, depressed. Mourning. This is our first point, states, you will weep, mourn, and grieve for a little while. So why does Scripture show us such raw emotion, the sadness and the grief and the mourning of his children, of God's people? Because that's reality. If you have the delusion that thinks that being a Christian means we're happy all the time and is a carefree, happy world, then all you need to do is read the Scriptures. The Scriptures very clearly tell us that Christians do sorrow. We have sadness. We have grief. We mourn. But it really doesn't take the Scriptures to tell us that, does it? What the Scriptures are saying is just confirming what we see and what we know happens in our lives. Your heart may be smiling today. You may have woken up this morning singing, "Awake my heart with gladness," or "Welcome, happy morning." But has that been the case every morning since last Easter, April 5th, 2015? I can guarantee it won't be that way every morning till next Easter. So why do we grieve and mourn and have sadness and sorrow? Ultimately because of sin, but there are many reasons. Maybe a loss of a job. Maybe a heartache because of a broken relationship. Maybe the death of a grandparent or a close friend. Or maybe we're grieving over something that happened many, many years ago. Maybe our sins and guilt grieves us and burdens our heart. But the real question isn't what kind of grief are we going through or how come the grief came upon us, but how are we dealing with that grief? How are we dealing with sadness? Jesus had an answer for his disciples. Just prior to saying that they would weep, mourn, and grieve, he said, "A little while and you will see me no more. And again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while and you will not see me,' and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father?" They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, 'A little while'? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me?'" Did you catch the key phrase in those verses? A little while. It's mentioned 7 times in those 3 verses. It must be pretty important. Jesus is telling them this. Take a step back. Look at the whole picture. Whatever sorrow you've gone through, whatever grief you're going through, or whatever mourning or grief you will be going through, it won't last. It's going to last just for a little while. That's not easy for us to hear, because we want instant relief. We don't like that little while of suffering and grief and sorrow. But Jesus has a far different perspective than anyone else has ever told us that. A little while and you'll feel better. First of all, he's all-knowing. He knows how long our little whiles of suffering and grief are going to be. For the disciples, he knew that most of them wouldn't see him after they fled from him in that Garden of Gethsemane, until he saw them on Easter Sunday evening. He knew exactly how long that little while of grief and sadness and suffering and mourning would be for them from that late, early Good Friday morning till Easter Sunday while they were mourning his death. And Jesus knows exactly how long our little whiles will be too. He knows how long we'll suffer with our sickness. He knows how long our hearts will ache. And he promises not to let us suffer beyond what we are able to bear. It'll just be a little while. But not only is Jesus all-knowing, he's also eternal, meaning he's got a much better grasp about how long suffering is in the whole realm of things. So let's say you went through a painful illness or grief or suffering for 6 months. Let's say it lasted a year. Let's say it lasted 2 years. But you lived to be 75, 80 years old. That's less than 2% of your entire life. Now consider our Savior's eternal perspective. He knows our troubles, our sorrows, our griefs are light and momentary compared to the eternal glory that awaits every single one of us. So, first point, Jesus says, you will weep, you'll mourn, you'll grieve for a little while. Second point, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. What a great ending to our text. I tell you the truth, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. That's how the passage ends. It doesn't say your sorrow will be replaced by joy. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. And that's what Easter is all about. It takes a sad, seemingly hopeless situation and turns it into joy. When those disciples saw and heard their Savior die on the cross, they felt hopeless. They were lost. They were filled with grief and sadness and mourning. But then when they saw him on Easter Sunday, they realized the cross was a blessing for them. The cross was the gift of their salvation, where their Savior gave his life to shed his blood to pay for the sins of all of them and the sins of the whole world. In view of Easter, the cross and Jesus' death that caused so much grief to them is now their source of joy. Look what Easter did to the grave. Here's Mary Magdalene, crying uncontrollably by the grave, the tomb. Then when Jesus stands by her and says, Mary, her heart is lifted, and now that empty stone grave becomes the rock of her salvation. And she is filled with joy. Those two disciples walking to Emmaus, they ask Jesus to stay for a meal. He breaks the bread, he says a prayer, and their eyes are opened, and they are filled with joy, and they immediately run back those 5 miles to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, he is risen, we have seen the Lord. But Easter doesn't just change the lives of the disciples, for Mary Magdalene, the women at the tomb. It also does the same for every single one of us here this morning. Instead of the guilt and grief of knowing that my sins, your sins, nailed Jesus to the cross, we now see the cross as a gift to us, where Jesus died so that his Father now accepts his Son's sacrifice and through his resurrection declares us to be righteous in Christ. And so instead of weeping at the grave of our believing loved ones who die, our tears that drop in joy and thanking God for the gift of life and for the assurance that we will someday be reunited with that believing loved one who has been laid in the grave. And instead of laying in our bed, wondering and fearful about our own death, we have the joy of peacefully knowing that we will fall asleep in death and our soul will be taken to heaven and someday be reunited with our glorified bodies on the last day. No matter how you look at it, Easter turns our mourning, our griefs, our sorrows into joy. Just like Jesus said. Imagine that. I tell you the truth. Jesus concludes our text this morning with these words. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Nothing can take that Easter joy away from us. Not our own guilt over our sins, not some loss, not even death. Christ is risen. May that put a smile on our hearts today and always. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.